please, as we read Psalm 127. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath the quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Our Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this morning and we talk about fathers and the importance of the home and the things that I'm going to say, I hope people will realize the importance of living right, doing right, choosing right, regardless of how difficult it may be. Young people and the world is watching. And it is so important in this day and age where there are no standards and no truths and people do whatever they feel like, that it is killing our society, killing our country. And I pray that we would be men and women that would stand up for something that is right, reflect the glory of God in our lives, and hopefully bring others along with us. Lord, bless your word, please, and for the truth that is in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm pretty sure you folks have no idea how truly conservative I am. Some of the things I say today will just be touching on the tip of the spear of who I am. And I don't think there are many of you that could not take what I think at times. So obviously I try to be careful, but I'll share with you some of the things that I've learned. Most of you know my story. I was saved at the age of 4 and grew up in a Christian home. The things I share today will be the things that I've seen and learned from that upbringing and from the 23 years of or more of pastoring and preaching the gospel, not only in this church, but in other churches over the years. There are primarily three ways that a person develops his or her moral philosophy in life. Number one, of course, you and I know biblical teaching, that taken from the Word of God. Number two is worldly observation, that seen in day-to-day life. And number three, I'll call theoretical belief, or it's touched on in the book of Judges, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. And I don't want to digress too much this morning because our time is limited, but you read about things going on in the paper and people being upset over certain things, and I'll touch on something that's controversial. And about once a week, you'll read a story of how a teacher has got in trouble with a student for doing something unethical that is absolutely wrong, and there is no question it is wrong, and I'm not justifying what is happening. But I will tell you this, in a public world now that wants to throw out God and society and the Ten Commandments, what do you expect? And how are you telling them that it is wrong when the standard that we stand on, then know that it is wrong, you don't want to talk about and you don't want to believe in? So obviously, every man doing that which is right in their own eyes is absolutely happening in society today, and we are pathetic if we can call it wrong if we want to throw out the Bible and say that it is wrong. Not to play semantics, but a house is a constructed building that hopefully has followed accepted building practices. A foundation, framing, plumbing, heating, insulation, electrical, drywall, paint, carpeting, flooring, ceilings, roofing, furnishings, utensils, and on and on and on you'd see in a house. A house is not a home. A home is built, hopefully, with accepted home building practices in mind. Psalm 127 in verse 1 in our text, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman keepeth, but in vain." That's from the King James Version, the KJV, we lovingly call it. Well, I have the SHG Version. That's the Stanley Harlan Griffin Version. It's going to be very popular after my death. Except the Lord build the home, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the family, dad watches but in vain. Verse 2 would read, it is vain for you to work day and night, to fret and worry over things that you can't control and lose sleep over. God can give you rest. Number one, a home needs to be manufactured. Just like a house needs a foundation, so does a home. There is foundational truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them or set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We'll be coming back to John chapter 17 at the end of the message. But Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou standest up. If you want your home to be built on a firm foundation, it has to include the Word of God. It has to have a standard that you can point to and look at and show your children, your young people, those around you, this is what I believe, and this is why I believe it, and this is why it's right or wrong. Foundational truth. Needs to be talked about day and night, night and day, until, did you ever hear your parents say, start to go into a conversation that you've heard 50 times already, and you're thinking, talk to the hand, I've heard this before. Well, you know what? That's how God's word needs to be talked about over and over in the home, whether they want to hear it or not. You know, I'm a little bit disgusted at times with parents that will come to me and say, well, we do that, but my kids don't want to. Really? Foundational truth. Number two, there needs to be foundational toughness. 2 Timothy 2:2-6 says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, we don't make foundations out of anthills, sand, clay. A foundation is cement. It's granite. It's rocks. It's rugged stuff that you know will be tested. You're going to put a lot of weight on that foundation. It's going to hold up an entire house. Going to hold up an entire building. A foundation is critical. No home, no house, no structure can stand without a strong foundation. And 2 Timothy 2 goes on to say, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth themselves with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. So we've got hardness, a soldier, war, strive, labor. Newsflash, life is hard. Are you shocked at that? And what disgusts me at times is we want to take all obstacles away from our family so that they don't experience any hard times. Well, that will never work. Foundation has to be truthful. It has to be tough. And because of that, the foundation, we do this because we know it's going to be tested. And Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24-27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And I'm telling you, the foundation of America is being eroded today, and great is going to be our fall if we don't get our beliefs in order. Foundational truth, foundational toughness, foundational testing. A home needs to be manufactured. It needs to be built strongly. Not only that, a home needs to be modeled. Now, I was never a model. I was never even thought of as a model. You would think with this physique, people would have been calling. That never happened. But obviously, I can model a pink shirt. I can model a tie. These pants, you're supposed to, what do you, do this like this. And then you, what do? You take it off and you throw it over your shoulder. And, you know, you can tell I've done this a lot, you know. Now, the reality of it is whether you recognize it or not, you and I are modeling what we believe. We're living it out. Dad, you're modeling what you say and what you say you believe and what you want your kids to follow, and they can tell whether you mean it or not. You can't just say it, you need to show it. There's an old saying, you talk talks and you walk talks, but you walk talks louder than you talk talks. You need to be there. The National Fatherhood Initiative says this, and I quote, there is a crisis in America, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. 24 million children in America, one out of three, live without their biological father at home. Consequently, there's a father factor in nearly all of the social ills facing America today. Research shows that when a child is raised in a father-absent home, he or she is affected in the following ways. 4 times greater risk of poverty, more likely to have behavioral problems, 2 times greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit a crime, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs, 2 times more likely to suffer obesity, and 2 times more likely to drop out of high school. And that's just part of it. Dads, you are important. I know the world has tried to nullify the importance of men, but I'll tell you what, God puts great importance on the dad and the man in society. A dad doesn't just need to say it, a dad needs to live it. Good instruction is taught and it is also caught. You see it being carried out in front of you and you copy what you see. Someone is teaching your kids, and it's up to you to make sure that what they are learning is acceptable. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. It was the hippie generation. Those things were coming into school and even into our churches. Long hair, bell-bottom pants, lamb chop sideburns, gold chains, shirts unbuttoned down to your belly button. It was disgusting. I can still see that. You talk about a mental image you can't get rid of. It's some 55-year-old hairy man with a gold chain and his shirt unbuttoned. That's something God should never have allowed. There was a joke going around back then. I never forgot it. A little girl, a teenage girl says, "Daddy, what should I wear with my pink, green, and purple knee socks?" The answer was hip boots. Society is still wanting to test us. I won't get into the tests. But the home I grew up in, men were men and women were glad. You listened to good music, and if it had to be played loud, it wasn't good. You cut your hair and you tucked in your shirt. You dressed up to take your girl out. It wasn't for a drink, it was for a meal. You said where you were going and what time you would be home. Early was on time was late, and late was unacceptable. You would never honk your horn to pick up a girl. Holy cow, I can't imagine. You came to the door and asked to come in and talk to the parents for a little bit to show them that you were man enough to take out their daughter. You sat on the outside of the pew in church. You walked on the street side of the road to protect your girl, and there'll be no chance that anyone will ever take advantage of your mate over your dead body. Tattoos were taboo, and body piercing was bizarre. Nothing good happens after 9 o'clock at night, so be home or find some other place to live. Treat someone the way you wanted to be treated. Pay your bills, and if you can't pay them, call them to explain why you can't and when you will. Life is not fair. Crying is for sissies. No blood, no foul. If it hurts, rub some dirt in it. What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. Clean your plate. Food's expensive. And last but not least, when being spanked, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I couldn't help but think as I wrote that down, man, my parents must have been in pain an awful lot of time. You make it, manufactured, you don't fake it, you model it. And lastly, it needs to be multiplied, manufactured, modeled, and multiplied. Psalm 127, 4 and 5 in our text, as arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I already touched on John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John chapter 17 is the real Lord's Prayer. Jesus is talking to his heavenly Father before he is to be crucified. John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. But in John 17, 4, he says, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Jesus was ready to die. He'd done everything he was supposed to do. You and I are not ready to die until we've done everything we are supposed to do, and only God knows when that is. We don't determine that, God does. But in John 17, 17 through 21, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, Jesus was talking about the importance of him sanctifying himself, setting himself apart, so that they could be sanctified and set apart, so that those that came after them could be sanctified and set apart. And we could carry this on for a long time, so that those that came after them could be sanctified and set apart. And I'm telling you, it behooves you and I, man, woman, boy or girl, doesn't matter who you are, what you think your calling is, if we aren't living for the cause of Christ, living a life that brings honor and glory to him, sanctification is nothing but being set apart, saving ourselves especially for the work of God Almighty. If we're not living that life and carrying that out, then you know what? The next person's not going to. It will stop with us. Now, I don't know how much that bothers you, but it scares me to death to think there's a chance that Stan Griffin could live such a pathetic life, and I'm capable of doing that, that no one looking at me would ever want to follow Christ. But that's what it comes down to, is that not only does a home need to be manufactured, a home needs to be modeled. The message of Christ needs to be lived so that when someone sees what we are doing, they will want what we have. And what we have is the presence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, living inside of us. As a light shining out through us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. And it's not about us. It's all about God Almighty. And I'll tell you what, it's not about having a good time. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes I don't want to. And neither do you. And sometimes your kids won't want to. But you know what? Get over it. Life's not easy. Because I'll tell you what, when they leave your house and they go out into the world won't care whether they want to or not. You're either going to toe the line and do what's required, or you're fired, you're unemployed, you're homeless, whatever. But you know what? The world's not some loving bunch that's going to care about whether you're having a hard day or not. The only one that's going to care about you is someone that knows God Almighty, because you and I are commanded to love one another. And I've told Phil 100 times, Phil, if you do that working for someone else, they're going to fire you because they don't love you. That's tough words. But I'll tell you, Phil worked for me. He's working now out of state. At least I hope he's there. I don't know. Haven't heard from him. No news is good news. But I'll tell you this. You need to set a standard so that when they leave home, they know what's right and they know what's wrong, and people will want them under their employ. And I just happen to believe that this book right here, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, sets a standard that if they reject you, they've rejected your Savior. The Bible tells us that that can happen. But on the other hand, we also know that people would rather be around godly people than a bunch of drug pushers and felons. I just think living for God, living like God requires us to, sets a standard that's worth living for. And if we can pass that on to our kids, and I'll close with this. Brian Sibley's here somewhere. He's got a son, Dexter, joined the Marines. He's off to boot camp. Pray for that boy. But we've jokingly said, and I don't know how Dexter's going to do. I hope he's okay. But we've jokingly said, he'll be fine in the Marines. He had to grow up with Brian. Okay? Yeah. Hurrah. Yeah. I'll tell you this. You want to set a standard that when your kids leave home, you know they can make it. And coddling them and giving them everything they want when they're crying ain't gonna cut it. Heavenly Father, we love you. You are the only life worth living. And Lord, I have been a bad father at times. It haunts me. But I know that you can redeem the years that the locusts have eaten. And I'm thankful that there's a God in heaven that can fix the things that I've done poorly. But Lord, there's no redemption for the lost. There's no second chance when we leave this earth without Christ. So I pray for every person that's in this room this morning that at some point in their life they've said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. I pray they'd say those words. Lord, and I pray for the home that the dad is here this morning and he recognizes that he's not been the man of the house. Lord, we want to be liked. We want to be loved. But that's not our primary responsibility. Our primary responsibility is to build a home where you are honored and we're making men and women that are good soldiers for Jesus Christ. I'm praying for the dad that has looked back and his kids are grown and gone and he recognizes that if he had it to do over again, he'd do it differently. But if he's still alive and his kids are still alive, you can still do incredible things. Help them. Lord, I'm praying for the mom that recognizes the family's not doing well and she's worried and concerned. And I pray that she just recognize that she can give it to you and you can handle it. I pray for those parents that it seems like the kids are running the house and they want to do something the kids don't want to, so they just acquiesce to the kids. Oh, that's not good. It's dangerous. And the long-term effect will not be good. I pray for that parent that it's having a hard time getting their kids to Sunday school because they're just kicking and screaming and fighting and it's not going well. I pray that they'd set the standard that the kids recognize that it's Sunday and we're going to be in church in God's house. And we're going to learn about him because we love him and he's worth it. And I pray for this group of people here this morning that it will be our desire to model a life that looks like Jesus Christ. However you've spoken to us this morning, most of all, I pray every person has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, that they would trust you as their Savior. And then I pray that it would be our desire to have a godly home. Maybe we just need to come this morning to the altar and say, Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to do the things that would honor you. Lord, we love you. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. 326, if God has spoken to your heart, There is help down here in the front. You come, please. Stand with us. I know you need to leave, and I want you to leave. So having said that, a lot of times people look at myself, Emily, Tori, we're adults now, and you think that we probably always, it's Sunday, it's church day, let's go to church, this will be so great. And I'm telling you, it wasn't like that. My mom had devotions with us, and we'd cry. Come Sunday school or youth group, we'd say, oh man, I don't want to do that. But I thank God every day that my parents set a standard and made sure I followed it, and it was worth it. And I know I talk to parents. I know you're here this morning. So, well, my kids don't really want to do that. It's not up for a vote. They will come a day where they will thank you. And if they don't, you won't have to look back and say, well, gee whiz, maybe I took them to church too much. I've never heard that. Satan is subtle. He's my dad. My son was crying this morning because he wanted some water. I put it in the cup. He wanted it in the bottle. You can't be serious. Really? I guess you're not very thirsty. My parents would look at me and say, you're crying? You want me to give you something to cry about? You know, I know, and now, I don't know, social services may come and get us if we did that stuff today. I don't know, but the reality of it is you can do all of that if you hug your kids at night, you tell them you love them. You know, you make sure, it can't be all one or the other. I'm telling you, my parents just loved me, but they made sure that I knew they were in charge. You love your kids. You set God's standard for them. You can't go wrong, I promise you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for my mom and dad. Mom's here this morning. Dad is not, but he's still with us. Thank you for that. Thank you for the home that I grew up in. Thank you for some of the days that I thought were horrible. But you were teaching me things. They weren't horrible. I was just a brat. You are so awesome. I love serving you. I love the message of Jesus Christ. For parents here today that have wayward kids, Lord, I pray that you'd be with those wayward kids. Remind them even now through the power of the Holy Spirit that their parents love them and you love them. Bring them home. God bless this group of people. Thank you for Father's Day. Take each one home safely. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.